Blog Talk Radio. Your host this morning. Good morning, Dr. Reggie.
Good morning. Is Gloria Wells here too?
Oh my gosh. Gloria Wells is also our co-host. Oh, the fabulous Gloria. I had a chance to talk to her this weekend, and oh my gosh, she is just amazing. So anyway, I hope you guys had a wonderful, wonderful weekend. I did. I finally got some rest. Oh, my goodness.
And you had a surprise birthday dinner party, which was fantastic.
I did, and I want to give a shout-out to Toya and Donald and Yvonne and Ruth and Jean and Mary Chiwa and Brandon. Oh, there was, and Eddie, there were so many people there. I just appreciate being around friends and family for such a wonderful thing. And it was a beautiful dinner spread, and I so appreciate it. And Ruth is so artistic. I mean, this cake was just beautiful. I'll try to post a picture of the cake that they designed. It was so beautiful. And it had circles on it. And she didn't realize that I had circles in my logo, so it was really, really pretty. So I'll post those today. So, Dr. Rett, we're talking about spiritual partnership. We are at the end of this book, so close to the end. I really think we're going to finish it up this week. And but I wanted to spend some time this week having people share with us their stories on this journey, because I know that you could not go through this book and really start practicing some of the spiritual guidelines, partnership guidelines, without having some changes to occur. So I want people to have the opportunity to share this week as we wind down. I'm going to ask you to go ahead and take us into our morning prayer.
Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, thank you today for a beautiful morning and a brand new start of a new week. Let us make this beautiful energy and the beautiful day and time be etched in our memories as a day of thanksgiving, a day of evolving, a day of sharing, a day of love, a day of responsibility, and a day of spiritual partnerships. In everything that we do, we are partners with nature and partners with other humans and partners with you, most and foremost importantly. We thank you for the energy of these lessons. Let us take them to heart and in our minds and sow them as seeds of eternity in our souls, because we know that we are learning all the time. We never stop learning and never stop growing. If we do, that's the cessation of life itself. So we ask you to guide us in all that we do and put your hands in our affairs to let us grow in our wisdom, in our residence, in our finances, in our health, and in our relationship to each other. We believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is. You know, before I move into actually how we can apply the spiritual partnership guidelines to friends and families and couples, I wanted to kind of read a little bit from Spiritual Partnership Action Number 2, because he gives a couple of scenarios where he's contrasting what a friend will do and what a spiritual partner will do. And I just thought this was, it just stood out for me. let's say, for instance, that you have a friend who's an executive who's been laid off of his job, and jobs are difficult to find, and his family depends upon him. His severance pay is gone. His unemployment insurance is running out. And although he has sent his resume to many employers, he still has no job. He has never been without a job before, or even imagined that he would be. So how would a friend respond? And this would be a fellow executive, this friend. And here's an example of what a friend will do. Oh, man, you can find a job. Just look where unemployment is low. Find out where venture capitalists are investing, such as in energy and biotech and green, and go there. Or, you know, you can create a tour of several cities and visit four or five companies in each and just present yourself in person. And don't go through the human resources department. I always listen when someone is brave enough to put himself in my office uninvited. So call me when you need to, and I'll be there for you when you want to kick some ideas around. Now, that's a friend, okay? Good morning, Robert. Bob, how you doing? Okay, here's what a spiritual partner will do. Big difference, okay? Let's compare the difference. What are you feeling? Tell me, what are the sensations in your body? Do you think these are sensations of loving parts of your personality or frightened parts of your personality? Have you felt sensations like these in other situations? What thoughts are you thinking? Do you think these are the thoughts of a loving part of your personality or a frightened part? Have you even noticed thoughts like these at other times in your life? What is your intention in taking and talking with me? In other words, did you want to talk to me just to complain? Or do you want to justify the situation? Or do you want to vent your anger or frustration or judge others or judge the system or challenge the frightened parts of your personality? In other words, are you looking outside of yourself for the blame, or do you want to look inside? Because this is an opportunity for you to challenge those frightened parts of your personality that are very painful and that existed before you were hired for your first job. So are you ready to heal them? Wow. So these frightened parts of your personality are active. And this circumstance gives you an opportunity to experience, to challenge, and to heal them. Because if you don't, they will become active again, and you will have another opportunity. But why not challenge them right now? Because the more you do, the more effective and fulfilled you will be in finding a new job and everything else. And I'm here to help you find that job, but this opportunity is greater than finding a job. Isn't that a big difference? What did you notice here? When the friend was talking, the friend was saying, giving him ideas for looking for a job to fulfill that immediate need, was vested in him making a choice, right? But the spiritual partner said, let's go deeper to all of the things that you're feeling. And let's deal with the part of you that's frightened. Because I will never forget when I got laid off. I had an opportunity shortly after I was laid off to come up to, and I went to work there part-time, and the man literally begged me to come and work. And I didn't know what to do. because I just come out of a very stressful situation, and this job was in the same field. And a voice inside of me said, you can take this job, Cynthia, but it will be out of fear. And oftentimes we make choices for out of fear. And what Gary Zukav is telling us, is encouraging us to have the courage to do, is to face our fears, but to make our decisions and our choices from a place of love and not fear. Fear puts us in survival mode and forces us to make decisions about our survival, which means that we're manipulating and controlling situations, right? Whereas when we make our decisions out of love, we're in total harmony with it. And so this friend is saying, let's really look at what you're afraid of. Let's face your fears right now. But I'm here to help you find a job. I'll do everything. But this is an opportunity for what? Your spiritual growth. Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, here's another example, and I thought this was so cute. This situation is a 4-year-old girl who's a granddaughter. Okay, and the grandmother, and how the grandmother can be a friend or a spiritual partnership. So let's watch the difference here. The 4-year-old girl is jubilantly riding her bicycle without the training wheels for the very first time. Oh, look at me, look at me, she shouts in joy to her admiring father and her grandmother and me. And her 6-year-old sister withdraws by herself to a grassy spot, and she sits motionlessly and stares at her feet. And so the grandmother, rather than being a spiritual partner, she walks over as a friend, and she says, what's wrong, honey? And the little girl says, well, my sister is getting all of the attention. And the grandmother says, well, don't worry, because Daddy loves you very much. He is just cheering your sister on. You have a prettier bicycle than your sister anyway. And you know that, don't you? So would you like to get an ice cream cone, just you and me? I know a special place I bet you haven't been to. She is coddling her and pacifying her. Right? She's empathizing with her. Now let's hear what the spiritual partner says to the granddaughter. A spiritual partner says, well, what is happening with you, honey? And the granddaughter says, well, my sister is getting all of the attention. But the spiritual partner grandmother will say, well, that doesn't feel good, does it? What do you feel? Do you feel anything in your chest? That doesn't feel good, does it? Do you feel anything in your stomach? She's going straight for the power centers, the heart, the solar plexus. Then she says that doesn't feel good, does it? And then she asks a very profound question. Do you want to keep feeling these things? Because you have a choice now. You can stay here and continue to feel these feelings, or you can try a little experiment. Because you could go over to your sister and congratulate her for riding her bicycle without any training wheels. Would you like to do that? A big difference. She's guiding her to look at what she's really feeling and recognizing this doesn't feel good. And then she says, I know how you can feel better. Go and congratulate your sister. So the girl goes over and she says, congratulations, you really look good. And the little sister just beams and is happy. And then the grandmother says, now, how do you feel now? And the little girl says, I feel better. It really worked. So you can experiment by yourself the next time you are not feeling good. Isn't that a wonderful way to teach your kids to overcome that fear? Because if they hold on to that at that age, they're holding on to it for the rest of their life. But they will always feel neglected and pull off to themselves when they're not the center of attention. Don't we know grown people that are stuck that way? So these are just some countless examples of the difference between being a friend, a loving and supporting friend, but a friend rather than a spiritual partner. And I can imagine that many of you can think of other examples of the difference, but these are the tools that can help you face your fears and help you become better friends because you're helping each other to grow spiritually. So today I want to talk about some of the dynamics. I have a lot of people in the chat room this morning, and I just want to say hello to them. I don't want Gloria's not in this morning, so she normally will be conversing with you guys this morning. I already acknowledged Bob. I'm so glad that Bob is with us. He was with us on Friday, I think, for the first time. And Bob, I want to thank you for following us. And many of you that are in the chat room, just go to our homepage on Blog Talk Radio and follow us. He says that he has been studying consciousness all night. He's been studying conscious of consciousness all night. Okay, Bob. That's awesome. Oh, Gloria's in the room now. Thank you, Gloria, because it's busy. It's very busy. So I really want to say thank you to everyone this morning. Okay, if anyone has anything that they want to share with their experiences applying and practicing the spiritual partnership guidelines, just please give me a call at 914-338-0590. I'd love to hear from you this morning. Or if you just have a comment or even a question, please give me a shout out this morning. I would love to hear from you. So we're going to move into applying these principles. Some of you may be new to Circles of Prosperity and have come in on the middle of our book. We're at the end of this book, but I can tell you very quickly what the spiritual guidelines are and how then we're going to move into how to apply them. So first of all, the spiritual partnership guidelines help you to create authentic power and spiritual partnership in every situation. It requires us to be committed. We have to make a commitment to practice these principles. Okay, we need to have the courage to face our fears, and we need to have compassion and conscious communication and actions. And these are all required in order to create authentic power. Now, when Gary Zukav is talking about the authentic power, he is referring to that power which we were born with, that divine power that is within us. And his premise in this book is that as human beings, we are evolving. There was a time when we only relied on our five senses, and our whole purpose was just survival. And fear worked for us for survival when we relied on just hearing what we could hear, see, taste, smell, touch, our five senses. He says that we are now evolving to multisensory human beings, where we are relying on things such as our intention. This is why he focuses so much on the power centers of the heart, the throat, and the solar plexus, the feelings that we're having, that we pay attention to how our body, the physical sensations in our body, because it is a signal of deeper things that are going on with us. Because understand that we are energetic beings, correct? We are energetic beings. Energy equals what? Energy is energy in motion. So we give this motion, and emotions are energy in motion. So what goes on in our body is a signal to what's going on within us. And if we are quiet enough and we pay attention to what's going on in our bodies and we get quiet enough, we make that connection with the divinity that is within us, we can discover where we are maybe judging or holding resentment or anger or jealousy. And once we face it, the fullness of that experience, and with courage and commitment and compassion, and we can then change that energy into a loving energy and therefore respond to the circumstances outside of our lives and to the people outside of us from a place of love. So that's it in a nutshell. And if you have questions, please type them up in the chat room, because I want to make sure you understand the concept. But that's pretty much what he said. So he's given us these guidelines, this step-by-step process of facing the fear. Because if you're not acting from a place of love, we're definitely acting from a place of fear. And therefore, we have to deal with the consequences of our decision to face a problem or circumstance from that place of fear as opposed from a place of love. Because that fear is really not going to serve us anymore. All right. So he said, you can create spiritual partnership with anyone who's committed to becoming aware, responsible, and healthy to decrease fear in our life and increase love. That's the big challenge here. You know, Jesus' own commandment to in his ministry was that we love one another. But that love has to begin with you. You've got to love yourself first. You have to connect to that first, okay? So when we're talking about race, religion, and culture, sex, and nationality, and economic circumstances, all of that dissipates. There is no barrier whatsoever that can prevent you moving into a space of love. And these fright parts of your personality are barriers. You know, if you ask, what is the source of racism? It is fear. What are they afraid of? Why? It totally dissipates when you can face that fear and then move into a space of love. Love will solve all of our problems. Love will solve all of our problems. Dr. Rex said that every positive thought negates and destroys every negative thought. Just one pure little ounce of love can destroy so much negativity. Okay, so you just need to have the courage to challenge these frightened parts of your personality so that you can heal them, all right? Now we're going to move into just applying these principles in a family unit, all right? I'm going to share with you what Gary Zukav says. No relationships offer more possibilities for spiritual growth than relationships between children and parents. They are the most intense and the far-reaching relationship, the most substantive, and the most impactful. They are also far more complex, deep, and powerful than they appear to a five-sensory perception. Because interactions between souls that are parents and souls that are children, that all begins prior to birth, and it continues even after death. For example, when the soul of a child leaves the earth school before the souls of its parents, well, that means that the child dies at birth or is killed in an accident as a soldier. The interaction between them continue. Whether your family experiences were gentle or interaction between you and your parents and your siblings, if you have any, if they serve the healing of all, in one family, a mother may be dominating. Why? Because she's coming from a space of being frightened. She's dominating. And in another, the mother may be weak and submissive. That's also a form of fear. In one family, the father may be able to show his love only through his financial support of the family. Guess what? That's a form of fear. And maybe in another family, the father is an abusive alcoholic. Another form of fear. So no family is without pain. No family is without pain because no family members are without frightened parts of their personality. And I can remember, I maybe have shared this story with you guys. Of my mom, loved my mom. She had a very gentle spirit, very, very gentle spirit. She was strong, but everybody loved my mom. All the kids, she was everybody's mom. But when I was a little girl, I grew up here in Atlanta at a time when the city was segregated, and we went shopping in Rich's, which was a large department store that was here, and had a counter where you could, go sit and have lunch with the stools twirl around. So what any kid would do, run and jump on the stool and twirl around on it. You see kids do it all the time. So, of course, I ran up and I got on the stool and I twirled around. I said, oh, I'm having fun. Mom, come on, let's eat here. Can we eat here? Just being a typical kid. And my mother rushes over and she yanks me off of the stool and she says, no. And honestly, I had never seen my mother act that way. Never had I seen her act that way. And it puzzled me. I didn't understand the emotion that I was receiving from her. And guess what? I was well over 30 years old before I connected dots. That feeling from my mom, the look on her face, was burned into my memory until I could get old enough to understand what it was. And my mother did not know how to tell me that I could not sit there because I was black. How do you tell a five-year-old? I don't even think I was five. I was probably three or four. How do you say you can't do that because of the color of your skin? And how humiliated she was, I could see there was the fear of a possible confrontation. There was the humiliation, the shame of how that made her feel, and be troubled on how she could communicate this rule in society to her child. And even now, my heart bleeds for her, what she had to go through, the pain that she was in, and the frightened parts of her personality. So there's no family that's without frightened parts to be healed, okay? Listen, the influence of parents on children and of children on parents and the love between them cannot be overestimated. That love is the bond that brings souls into a family. It predates the personalities involved. And it continues after they leave the earth school. Even in families where a parent is so brutal and disconnected that his or her departure is a relief rather than a sorrow, there remains longing to continue the relationship. This is not really because of dependence, which is fear too. It is an experience of the love that connects each family member and pervades his or her experiences, no matter how painful and brutal they may be. So when a child is adopted, even at birth, she enters into another family dynamic that also serves for her spiritual growth. But the influence of her birth family continues to affect her and be felt. The parents will never forget the child, although they may believe that they have. There is this spiritual connection between them that cannot be broken. And eventually one will begin to think of the other. Here, listen to the inner dialogue. Does he think of me? Would he want to see me again? Is she a professor or a housewife or lost in drugs? Oh, I hope not. What does my daughter look like? What kind of person is my mother? I think I know. These are the kinds of thoughts that emerge and reemerge in separated parents and children, no matter how long they have been apart. They are experiences of the indestructible bond between them that continues even as new circumstances unfold and when families are involved, and they interweave with those family experiences. There are so many, a lot of people don't understand why children who are adopted are always seeking seeking out mom, seeking out the father, the original parents, because there was a soul contract before they came into the world. There was an agreement between two souls. That bond is never broken. Any comments or questions this morning? I see a lot going on in our chat room. Okay. Well, Gloria's handling it. Looks like she's handling it. I thank you for Gloria. So during he goes on to talk about last year college day with a girl that he was seeing, and she became pregnant. And although we were confused and frightened, we both knew that we were not able to raise a child. And so our daughter was born while I was in the Army, and she was adopted at birth. And for several years, I did not think about her. In fact, I discovered later that my reason for enlisting in the Army was to avoid facing the very things that frightened me the most. Look at that. He joined the Army. He wouldn't have to face the responsibility of a child, even though they made the decision, we're not ready. He still didn't want to face that decision. So he says, eventually I began to wonder where she was, what she was doing, and if she was well and happy, and I continued to wonder about her for years. Now, my daughter is 13 this year, I would think, or my daughter is 19 this year, or this year she 23. What is she doing now? Is she happy? So when the Dancing Wooly Masters was published, I fantasized that she might recognize my name and contact me. And some more years passed, and I found her mother. She also did not know anything about our daughter except the name of the hospital where she was born. And laws separating birth parents from their adopted children were omnipotent passionate and very effective at that time. At last, I found a kind person who helped me reconnect biological parents with their children, and I gave her the little information I had, and months later, she called to tell me that she had located my daughter. Here's the thing. I could move or breathe. I could answer her. I was filled with fear of the information I had sought for so long. I wrote down the address and the phone number she gave me, and I thanked her, and I just sat there motionless at my desk. And I thought, here it is. I thought I would be thrilled, but I was terrified. I couldn't pick up the telephone again. And I just looked at the information in my hand again and again for weeks, thinking of what I could do with it. I called. What if she didn't want to see me? What if she was angry? How could she not be? And worst of all, what if she wouldn't even talk to me? What if I would never know if my daughter was happy, or if she had been treated well, or if she was married? And that thought suddenly jumped at me. What if she has children? And in retrospect, it seems possible that it had not occurred to me before, but the possibility that my daughter had children, it just filled me with wonder and then with fear that I might not be able to see them. So I spent weeks gathering my courage and preparing to call her. Look, he's practicing the principles within himself. He's gathering the courage. And I imagined every reaction that she might have. There might be rage. There may be fear, curiosity, possibly acceptance. And would she angrily hang up or disdain me or be relieved? When I called, she was startled. But she spoke with me at once. And she continued to speak with me. And then she told me of her life and her family. And yes, she had a daughter. And as she spoke, I felt an experience beyond any joy I had ever felt. Oh, it seemed to me that my daughter wanted to see herself with me. Whatever she was feeling, I was filled with awe and gratitude. And we made plans to speak again, and then we said goodbye. But I could not move or think. The emotions that I could not recognize or even distinguish at the time, they just filled me. And I loved them all. They were just so deep, so meaningful, so rich and comforting. Why? My daughter was well. My daughter was well. And my daughter was loved. And so I just cried and I laughed and wondrous things. And then the fear returned. Would she speak to me again? What if she changed her mind? And each new thought of fear plunged me into that pain again. And so began the recommencement of one of the meaningful stories of my life, one that I sought to push away from my thoughts and ignore as though it had not happened. But it had happened, and it was happening. And now, 27 years later, I stepped back into it as cautiously as I could. It is still happening, and every year, my gratitude the universe, and you know, we always say, equals and means God, source, creator, whatever name, by yourself. He says, the universe, I am grateful for the universe, for my life, and for my daughter. My feelings deepen, my love deepens. I am still amazed that someone as angry and uncaring as I have been feels such strong and loving emotions about my daughter. that I had given for adoption so many years ago. So his story is not unlike millions of others, of the pain of an abortion that reemerges years later with staggering intensity, or the excruciating longing for a child to be given away, or the prolonged pain of marrying out of fear in order to provide a child a home. Parents and children are affected by one another, not only in these dramatic ways, because as we become multisensory, we see that all of our interactions with our parents and our children are substantive and deep, and frightened parts of the personality of our parents affect us, and frightened parts of our personalities affect our children. Parents fear their children as well as love them. Every father needs to be admired by his son to be worthy of his respect, wonders if he will be, and fears that he will not. And every mother needs to be loved by her daughter to model goodness and help and wonders if she will be. And fears hidden places, the frightened part of her personality that she will not. You okay, Dr. Reggie?
Mm-hmm.
All right. But the frightened part of the personality of every parent needs the approval of his children. In no other kind of relationship are you challenged more often and deeply, and offered opportunities to create authentic power more frequently and persistently than in your family. This is where we can practice spiritual partnership. It's the dynamic in the family give you the perfect ground to practice spiritual partnership. Your family is your home on the earth school. I love it. You see, the way I've always said it is, and it's the same thing, the family unit is where you can practice unconditional love despite everything going, all dynamics in the family. It's where we get to practice how to love unconditionally. We're going to pick up this stuff tomorrow. We're almost complete, but we'll pick it up. We're going to look at practicing spiritual guidelines. We'll go a little bit more in depth in it in the family, and then we'll move on to talking about creating spiritual partnerships with friends. I'm going to ask Dr. Reggie to take us into our closing prayer this morning.
Thank you, Father, and thank you, Mother, God, and Goddess, rulers of the universe and of our lives, our hearts, our minds, our souls. I thank you that even though in this 21st century we have cell phones and they get lost and we lose contact with people and friends and clients, however, our celestial phones are always with us, fully charged, and best of all, the minutes are free and unlimited. Let us learn to pray and not be afraid to share and help others to grow and move in our being as multisensory beings, having a human experience on this planet and in this dimension. Thank you for our evolution and always knowing that we are always connected to you in our very hearts and souls. We always walk a path of upliftment and spiritual progress. We're never going backwards. We are progressive in all things spiritual. We help others by our living example and our lives. Let us touch each other with love, the ruler of the universe. You are pure love, Father, and I thank you for that. Let us demonstrate it in ourselves, in our lives for others. I believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. The prosperity of all powers. the whole spiritual part